ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
Today we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. We want to look at absolute security, or if you wanted to have a more suitable title from Scripture, you could say, if God be for us, who could be against us? We'll be reading in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dealing with absolute security, Paul the Apostle's writing to the church at Rome, and we're not speaking of the Catholic Church, we're talking about the church that Rome that he has been helping, he has been mentoring, and he has been preaching to, and he is writing what perhaps is the most theological book in the entire New Testament, the book of Romans. Verses 33 through 34, we read verses 31 and 32 for context purposes, but 33 and 34, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. This passage right here, these two verses, we see that we will never be condemned. You will notice in verse 33, imagine yourself in a courtroom and the court monitor rises and he issues a question and / proclamation. Who shall or who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Now this means that he has declared us righteous in Christ. Satan would love to accuse us, but we stand before God righteous in the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed, Paul would teach in previous chapters. We are God's elect. We are chosen in Christ and accepted in Christ. God will not accuse us, for it is he who justifies us. And for Christ to accuse us, his elect, his children, would mean that his salvation was a failure and we are still in our sins. That forgiveness never really happened. Thus, he settles that in finality by declaring us righteous. Now, do you do your best, if you will, to understand justification? It will bring abounding and constant peace to your heart. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he purchased our redemption, and all we must do is, when asked by the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? One thing was given. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible further says, Paul would go later on to write in the book of Romans in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Christ forgives us of our sins when we accept Him as Savior. And then He goes a step beyond that. Not only does He forgive our sins, and forgiveness is past, present, and future. He forgives our past, He forgives our present, and He forgives our future sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins in the present and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in future as well. Now, He goes a step beyond that and He justifies us. Now, justification in the Bible literally means that God declares you righteous before the world. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 1, and we'll allude to that in just a moment again, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Do you remember John chapter 10 and verse 10 where Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly"? My friend, I don't know how you can have life more abundantly if you realize that you are declared by the very God of the universe righteous before God. You have been declared righteous. That is an amazing thought. We may accuse ourselves, other men may accuse us, but God will never take us to court and accuse us. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus paid the full penalty. We are secure in Him. Jesus Christ paid that. Now, verse 34, a price paid is mentioned and a plea is entered. It is Christ that died. Notice with me in Romans 8 and verse 34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God." Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 states that, "And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Nailing it to his cross. Now, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible states, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances." In the Greek, the literal meaning is he literally canceled out the certificate of debt. We had a debt that we could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe, and he canceled out that certificate of debt because he paid that price. He took our sins. He nailed that certificate of debt to the cross and marked it paid. Now notice also in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, and he says, "blotting out the handwriting ordinances that was against us." The word "against" there means to be in hot pursuit. The law of God demanded sacrifice, demanded to be satisfied. Our blood could not satisfy the law. And the law was in hot pursuit. The law was in hot pursuit of the Jew. The law was in hot pursuit of any human being. The law does nothing but condemn. The law does nothing to save. Jesus Christ came. He fulfilled the law. John 1:17. "For Christ has come to fulfill the law." And so that's exactly what he did. And notice with me also back in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, that what his job pertaining to Christians is today, believers. The Bible says in the latter part of the verse that he is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now here's something that will literally bless your heart if you will allow it. We literally, in reality, have dual intercession. We have dual intercession. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God intercedes. The Spirit of God helps us to pray. The Bible says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. It helps our shortcomings. It helps our weaknesses in the area of prayer. The Spirit of God intercedes on our behalf. Again, Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 reiterates that the Son of God is interceding on our behalf. He intercedes on our behalf before the Heavenly Father. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 reads that, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He ever lives, he forever lives to make intercession for the believer. So we have dual intercessors, if you will. A good illustration of our accuser bringing accusations upon us is found in Job chapters 1 and 2. You should take some time to read that. Satan condemns the saints before the throne of grace continuously. In fact, Revelation chapter 12, he is given the name. That's one of his names. The accuser of the brethren. He accuses them day and night. Satan condemns the saints before the throne of grace, and his charges are true. We are sinners. We have sinned. We have broken God's law. We have done exactly what Satan has said that we do every day. We sin. We are sinners. However, when the prosecution has finished presenting its case, Jesus, our advocate, our attorney, our intercessor, stands forth, and he shows the prints of the nails in his hands, and the righteous judge, God the Father, cries, "Case dismissed!" And the Father declares us right in his sight. We are righteous before God, not by our own works, not by our own feelings, not by our own fact. We are righteous before Christ, before God, by the righteousness of his dear Son. So we will never be condemned. Now notice with me in verses 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Friends, we find in verses 35 through 37, we will never be conquered. Verse 35, we have a troublesome question. Sometimes it seems like the world, the flesh, and the devil are winning. It can be a troublesome and trying journey, this thing called the Christian life. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 33, he told his disciples something a little bit about this that would help them in their walk with Christ. In John 16 and verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Now for Paul, he offers overwhelming comfort. Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Literally in Greek, it means that we overwhelmingly conquer. We are super conquerors. We are overwhelmingly winning because of Christ. Christ has already won the battle. He's already won the war. He's risen from the dead. We are destined for greatness with him because he is great. And I'm not talking on this earth. I'm talking in heaven with him. Our need is merely an opportunity for the Lord to demonstrate his power in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34, Paul proves that God cannot fail. He cannot fail us. However, we do fail him. And when we fail him, then what? Well, he deals with this in the final section of the chapter, and he explains that nothing can separate us from him. To begin with, God does not shelter us from the difficulties of life because we need them for our spiritual growth. We need those difficulties, as unpleasant as it is. We need those in our lives. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. God assures us that difficulties in life are working for us and not against us. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We endure trials for His sake. And since we do you think that He will ever desert us? Has He ever deserted you? Has He ever deserted you in anything, any way, any shape, any form? No. Christ has never, can never desert His people. He gives us power to conquer." Romans 8:10, verse 37. "We are more than conquerors. We are overwhelmingly conquering by the power of God. Now we shall not be condemned." The Bible teaches that we shall not be cast down, and now the Bible teaches that we will never be cast off. Verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul issues in verse 38 a conviction. Paul was convinced. He said, "I am persuaded. I am persuaded." Those are strong words coming from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had endured shipwreck. He had been snake bitten. He had been run out of town. He had been abused by people for Christ's sake. He would eventually be killed because of the message of Christ. And I'm just recollecting things from my memory. There's much more that could be said about the life of Paul. But Paul says, "I am persuaded." Paul was convinced. You and I need to be convinced as well. And he offers all of these circumstances. "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth." Now, Paul brings up all of these things. He brings up things that bother us in the spirit world. Angels and principalities and powers. He's talking about the satanic and the spiritual battles that the believer goes through. And they are myriad. They're all over the place. We don't see any. We feel the effects of it many times. We hardly know what goes on around us in the spirit world and what God is protecting us from. But he also lists those things that gnaws away at our spirit and hurts us in the physical realm. Death. And things that are present and things that are come, the things that are unknown. He gives us all of these circumstances. And Paul's description here gives just about all that can happen to anyone in their life. We get victory and more victory. We need not fear life. We need not fear death. This is not a promise with conditions attached. If you do this, God will do this. That's not it. These are established promises. They're tried. They're true. They're truth. In verse 39, he offers a conclusion. He said, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." He labels everything that he is instructed by the Spirit of God to include, and it literally covers everything that we could possibly endure or bring upon ourselves. And nothing can separate us from His love. Believe it or not, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Believe it, brace it, and rejoice in it. "Nor any other creature," in verse 39. created being. Nothing in the universe is outside of God's control. Therefore, nothing, including ourselves, can separate us from His eternal love. His eternal love. Now, there's one thing I want to point out to you in verse 38 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers. Colossians chapter 2, we were just there just a moment ago reading verses 13 and 14. Verse 15 states, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose triumphant over hell, triumphant over death, triumphant over the grave. Can you imagine with me Jesus hanging on the cross? And the Bible states that midday, the earth was darkened. During this time, Jesus would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason being, God the Father could not look upon sin, and he turned his back on his own Son because he bore the sin debt of the entire world. And Jesus Christ became sin, as it were, for us. And he died a cruel death, a death he did not have to die, but he chose to die. He submitted himself to it. Can you imagine with me hell's comrades and all of their demons and devils just ranting and raving and celebrating all over the earth while the Son of God is dying on the cross? When Jesus was taunted, when Jesus was beaten, and he was beaten with a cat of nine tails, he was spat upon, his beard was plucked from his face, he endured our hell. And I'm not just talking about physical pain, I'm talking about spiritual torment during this time. And Jesus opened not his mouth to it. He accepted it. In fact, he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And Jesus said nothing as he submitted himself to the Father's will and as he submitted himself for our payment for sin. But the silence seemed to have said, you just wait till Sunday morning and I'll show you that it's better to rise from a grave than to come down from a cross. Jesus Christ triumphed over our sin. I triumphed over the principalities and powers of hell. He triumphed over all of that because he is the Son of God. He is risen. He is God. And I say to you, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature, my friends, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I leave you today with 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God. I have absolute security. I shall never be separated from His love, no matter what I do, and He cannot go back on His word. There is therefore now no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We are overwhelmingly winning because of His grace. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Him for your salvation? Oh, you can today. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can be born again by the power of God if you submit yourself to Him and say, Lord, I believe that You died for me. I believe that You rose from the dead for me. And I believe that You died for my sin. Would You please forgive me of my sin? And Jesus Christ will save you. And my friend, you will enter into this journey in your life that exactly Paul was speaking about. you would begin to become persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I invite you, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Come to Christ. He changed your life. God bless you, and I trust you'll have a great day in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.